Jeremiah is speaking to the people of Israel and the people of Judah after they have returned from exile in Babylon. And I want us to just get an understanding of these words that God has given Jeremiah to speak. I want us to think about the context in which this happened. So God called Abraham long ago and said, "I'm the promise and covenant that he made with him, that he would be his God and Abraham's people would be numerous as the stars." So that covenant was the beginning of this covenantal relationship that God had with God's people. But then God's people broke it again and again and again. And to think about their time in Egypt, or their time when they would break it in the land of Canaan, when they had all of these people who worshipped other gods. And they began to conform to whatever culture that they were embedded in. But God continued to love the people of Israel and want them, desperately want them, to love only God back. God gave them this rescue, this marvelous rescue out of Egypt, and with pillars of smoke and fire and raining manna and quail, so that they had what they needed. This God who gave them some laws, a covenant that they could keep, laws that they could keep so that they could be the people God called them to be, and they would break it and break it and break it. They even broke it before the commandments came down off the mountain. But God continued to love them and desire to call them back into that relationship. And then when the land got covered with people and sent them off to Babylon, God sent prophets like Jeremiah to speak to them. And in Jeremiah 27, we hear God saying to them that build houses where you are. Have wives where you are, meaning you're going to be there a while. Love and take care of the land in which you find yourselves in. But I promise you a future and a hope. So in 31, they're coming back into Judah, back into that land that was their promised land. And God says to them, "I will be your God and you will be my people. And I'm going to not just give you law books. I'm going to plant my law in your heart." Now, can you imagine God still wanting to love these people who wandered away so often? God not only loved them enough to plant that desire to love God back in their hearts. He says, "For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." He's not only going to forgive that whole past, that multiple page past of what they've done, but he's going to forget it. He's going to forget it. Have you ever forgiven someone but never forgotten? Have you tried to forget the things that you forgave someone for? It's difficult, isn't it? God said, "Not only will I forgive you your iniquity, but it is forgotten." That the future I have for you is a future of hope and promise. And you are going to be, from the least to the greatest, you're going to be in my family. And my love and my law is going to be planted in your heart so that you know me. So that you know me. God wants to be that well known by us. Have you ever been really known by someone? Now, I haven't given you an Abby story in a very long time. But Abby knew us, so that when we came home and her joy at us being at home, it was as if we'd been gone forever, and it might have been 5 minutes, but we knew she knew us. But there was one instance that's not an Abby story. It's a Worf story. You guys never knew Worf Worf was a 120-pound Dalmatian, and he stood about this tall. And he rode in my car so much he put indents in it. But when we went to Okinawa, Worf was only 2 years old. And a friend that we prayed for, Steve Higgins, the man who has cancer that we pray for, kept him for those 4 years we were gone. And we drove up to pick him up, and we were telling Wes, you know, he might not remember us. It's been 4 years. And if he hasn't, he's staying with this lovely, you know, we were doing the whole get ready to deal with disappointment speech. So Worf came bounding out with the shepherds and barking at us and not quite certain who these strangers were. And Leo got down on his knees. And Worf stood and looked at him, and suddenly Worf sat down, and Worf's big snout got up in the air, and he began to sniff, and he began to sniff, and he began to sniff, and suddenly the tail started to wag, and then this big monster of a dog jumped on Leo and began to lick his face like, oh, I know you, I know you, and you found me, and I'm going home with you. He got in the car and wouldn't leave. God knows us that well and wants us to know God that well. Whether it's a brand new relationship or one that's been going on forever, God's covenant with God's people was so that God could be known right here, so that when we go to God in prayer, we get this sense of, I know you. I know you. And it's not just God saying that to us because God knows us, but for us to say it back to God. I know you because this is where you live. So God doesn't want us to conform to the world. God wants to reform us as God's children so that that relationship can be solid as anything. Because if that solid relationship there of love that is mutual radiates out from us, anything the world sends to us will just bounce off. Those of you who are Harry Potter fans will bounce off like all the bad spells would bounce off of Harry. Because love was the thing that protected him. Love, God's love, is the thing that protects us from the world. So we no longer conform to the world. We are reformed by God's love to be children of God. So that, there's always a so that with God, you know that. So that the world will be transformed by God's love through us. What would that look like? What would that look like? I've been trying to decide what that might look like. Maybe it might look like what happens when we get greeted by loved ones. What it might look like that when we walk down the street and we don't see the stranger as a threat, but as a friend we haven't met. That would be an Abby thing. She would think that stranger was a friend she hadn't met, a long-lost relative that had been hiding somewhere. And finally, she saw him. What if? What if we weren't afraid of anyone or of anything? Because God has got us in that loving relationship. But it starts in that place of reforming. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. When we are reformed by love, it transforms our lives. And we can't help but tell that story. This is Reformation Sunday. And right now there's a whole lot of people saying that God's church is dying. I think God's in the transformation business. And we are in the midst of being reformed as a church so that God's world can be transformed by us, the church. There has never been a static church since the time that Jesus walked, and we can't expect it to remain just as it is through eternity. The thing that remains from creation to the new Jerusalem, it's God's love. And we, God's people, are transformed by it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.